think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show if you want to join us. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up via Twitter. We are here discussing fun games, entertainment, and some sports we've mixed in, sprinkled it in for you guys today. So still plenty more to get to along those lines. And by the way, I mentioned it yesterday that the reverse curse of the Houston Rockets allowing the Miami Heat to believe after losing 9 of 11 that they were good again actually rebounded in such a way in which the Heat were able to beat the Warriors the other night and do it on the strength of a Dion Waiters buzzer beater. With that, I made sure to mention that Dion loves him some Dion. Mm-hmm. After the game, he was very, very adamant about letting everybody know it was all about him. And then Nick stumbled upon the classic audio to back up world-class Dion.
Man, I love that moment. I mean, you can never shy away from that. I just feel like one of my favorite quotes is, I forgot it already, one of my favorite quotes.
Doesn't get any more solid than that, does it?
Who was it that said that? Because you know what? I forgot it already is also one of my favorite quotes. I mean, who was it? It was it's from the great philosopher.
Now, if you were to insert quote here, my first guess would be the Michael Jordan quote, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take."
That was actually Gretzky, not Jordan.
They credit Michael Jordan with
that. That was Gretzky.
In the, you know those like determination posters and all that in offices?
I think they may have put a picture of Jordan, but sure it was Gretzky that said it.
Okay.
But that does remind me of a time back in the day on Houston game day, we were trying to come up with some promotional stuff. So this was back when Arian Foster played for the Texans. Uh-huh. And so I had these things that I called the philosophy, because you know Arian Foster fancied himself a philosopher. So we had philosophy with Arian Foster, and one of the ones I made was just a picture of him sitting on the field, and it said, "You miss 100% of the thoughts you don't think," which would be...
I actually did see it.
Yeah?
I did see it. I totally forgot what you're referring to.
Yeah. And that sounds like what he just did. You miss 100% of the thoughts you don't think. That should be his new favorite quote. But I thought that was Gretzky, because I do like that quote, actually.
We're both right to an extent, but I give you credit because one has Wayne Gretzky associated with that, and another has Michael Jordan associated with it.
Okay.
And then, like you said, there's also another one that has the quote with a picture of Michael Jordan, but doesn't put the credit to it. But there are some that do give the credit to Jordan.
Do you have a favorite quote that you can remember? Not just, "I forgot already." Do you have a favorite quote? I actually have one. I was surprised. No, I'm asking you.
I'm trying to think because I have several, but...
What is it?
You know, I'd have to go back. A lot of them I don't, you know, verbatim.
Uh-huh.
There's some Lombardi quotes, Vince Lombardi quotes.
Yeah.
There's just some Stuart Smalley quotes.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Oh, you're good enough?
Yeah.
Nick, do you have a favorite quote?
No, not really.
No?
Probably a favorite movie quote, but...
No,
but not
something that inspires you, something that makes you feel good or makes you want to strive to.
No.
From a fortune cookie?
Yeah.
So you don't have
just
a favorite?
To show you that
my
I'm
favorite quote is
to you.
From Henry Ford. where he said, whether you think you can or cannot, you're right.
It's pretty good.
That's my favorite quote. Yeah, I think that's pretty deep. That's the only one. That's about as deep as I get, too. That's it. Like, that's as,
I came
that's
up with this one day that says, ever hear me. Do unto others as you'd have do unto you.
That's the Bible.
Oh.
All right. Okay. You can't be quoting the Bible.
I can.
Well, you can, but that's not what this exercise is for.
Here's another great Michael Jordan quote.
Okay.
Some people want it to happen. Some people wish it would happen. Others make it happen.
Ah.
How about that?
I love it.
Okay.
It's very good. Yes, people can
say that's why he's the greatest of all time. Oh, did I say that? Where's Tom Brady's quotes? Let me look those up next.
Tom Brady's quotes are like, no, you weren't open. Like, those are probably his best quote. I don't know. Like people, I don't think Brady doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that people look to for philosophical
knowledge.
But the
thing that was funny about yesterday is everybody's like, Michael created the logo and Nike, and because he had the Nike and the logo, he got more credit than Brady. Brady doesn't have those kind of things. Brady's got mattresses, Gillette, his own TB company, Under Armour. I'm like, come on, dude. Everybody's raking in it. If you're Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, you're cleaning up on the endorsement side.
I should have known this would spark a texting.
Here we go, right?
Quotes. Fate rarely calls upon us at the moment of our choosing. That was Optimus Prime. The famous Transformer. Favorite quote, Hakuna Matata. Here's a good quote. I'm too drunk to taste this chicken by Colonel Sanders. That's another great quote. Boy, people are really bringing it on the text.
We did it again.
Presidents aren't elected. They're selected. Teddy Roosevelt. So, yeah, we're getting it. Hard work beats talent. When talent does work hard, doesn't work hard. What? I don't know. I read that wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
So anybody else with quotes?
Yeah, there's a ton of them coming in. Yeah, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Jimmy Valvano.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Oh, yeah. See, they finally got it right. Katie, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. There you go. There you go. So I can't believe you don't have as sportsy as you are.
And I love, and look, a lot of times I save like really quality quotes.
Do you? Do you have like motivational posters in your office?
No, I wasn't that guy.
Where you're like.
I wasn't that guy, but I had the office next to someone who did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Daryl?
No.
Craig?
Sarah Joseph, our community, their community relations director now, but she had the motivational posters up.
Yeah. Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I liked some of the motivational. Have you seen some of the demotivational posters?
Yes.
Those are amazing.
They're funny.
Those are the ones you want around the house. Yeah, I like those. Somebody said, are you going to be a playmaker or a play watcher? If you're going to send me a quote, I need to know who said it. Like Richard, if you ain't first, you're last. Ricky Bobby. Fantastic quote. That's words to live by.
The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor.
Yeah, you didn't remember all that.
No, I told you I didn't. But now that you're asking me, I'm going to the
But what I'm saying is, it's quotes that you're like, that stick to you, that have
You know what one sticks to me?
Feel good.
Can I give you the one that sticks to me that comes to mind from Vincent T. Lombardi?
No, I thought it was going to be like, sir, it's $12 for a happy ending. Nope. I thought maybe that was one of your quotes.
No,
what?
No, that was your Saturday night after the two shows nightly. No, mine would be my favorite Lombardi quote that I can remember is, what the hell is going on out here? I love that. Every time he just starts yelling it to no one in particular when they're screwing up.
Somebody texted it, ha, 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 ha. It was a famous quote from his ex-wife.
Right after you got the Christmas presents and took off.
That's somewhere my ex-wife is sending that into a radio station. Ha, 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 my ex-husband, famous quote. Yeah.
The difference between a successful person and others is not the lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will.
Okay. Now you're just like reading from a quote bank, aren't you?
I'm reading from the Lombardi quote machine.
This is not, just stop. Like, I wanted one quote that meant something to you.
I'm sorry.
These
it didn't come to mind like
to
that.
You.
All right. Yes, it did. What the hell is going on out here? I like that one.
Okay. That's good. Do we want to take Alex's call?
Yeah, of course we do.
Okay. It's on the Pro Bowl. I don't know if we want to do that. Alex, what's up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just I wanted to get y'all's thought on the NFL Pro Bowl. I know, you know, cause y'all are talking about how it's kind of falling off over the years. I know for me, with all the rule changes and everything and how they changed it up. But I know, like, when I was first watching it, one of my favorite things to see was, like, before the Pro Bowl when they had, you know, like they got all the fastest players. They ran them through a 40-yard dash, and, you know, to see who was the fastest. And they did, I don't know, like, different, you know, like, different drills to, you know, the quarterbacks. They did, you know, they see who could throw it the furthest, you know, and who was more accurate and stuff like that. Like, I know that was one of my favorite things to watch, but they don't do that anymore. So that kind of took some off, you know, took some of the excitement and entertainment away from it for me. But yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and that'd be it.
So, like, the skills competition, Alex, that was your thing
that nobody's interested in.
Yeah, the skills competition.
Well, they're bringing that back this year.
I mean,
yeah,
they're bringing that back this year.
There's, okay.
Yeah, the skills competition is going to be there. Believe it or not, if you're a betting man, the over-under is Andy Dalton is averaging a 232 in bowling because there's going to be a bowling challenge too.
Oh, really?
I swear to God, there's the bowling challenge. There's a skills challenge for these guys. But I think what you were referring to, which I remember from back in the day, which I loved, there used to be a show called The Superstars. And what they did was they took great athletes from all different sports and they put them through a variety of, like, you know, can you canoe for like 400 yards? What's your 40 time? Can you, all these different things. But it was pretty cool to see how athletic they were in sports other than their own. That would be kind of cool. But again, the risk of injury, I don't think any general manager is going to go, God, I hope my star player decides to really go
I really hope he can row a boat
in that obstacle course, because that could really turn out well for us.
We got a couple more quotes here. Thanks for the call, Alex. We got a couple more quotes. That doesn't go there. My girlfriend, 2017.
Jeez.
And let's go. Cash me outside. How about that? Crazy bitch on Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
These are quotes. These are quotes. I'm not saying they're good. I'm just
can't
saying.
Put that square peg in that minute hole. No, never mind.
What? L. Hernandez?
No. Well, at least it's a small hole. Tom, you know, that I'm not in that bad of a position. Jeez.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
By the way, her last name changed.
My wife would be like, "That's it." That's my wife's favorite quote. That's it. That's all you got.
Really?
That's all you got. Really?
When the 2 minute drill becomes 15 seconds.
Oh yeah. Just stop.
Just enough time to punt.
Stop. I'll do it myself. That's her favorite quote.
Well, and then there's that. And of course, El Jefe has 16 different.
Yeah, I love the entries. Memes though. Y'all need to go check out El Jefe on Twitter. That dude. He kills it on Twitter.
Good thing is he has a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Josh Like a Boss on Twitter. Very funny.
Yeah, until he calls and then he's just Josh. We're here till 4 o'clock. Oh, me. Okay.
Yeah,
me.
Stop.
You're mean daily. All right. Get your steady dose of mean when we come back. Barry will be taking your drive-through order orders as well as your text messages. No. We'll take your calls and we'll continue to roll through the final hour of what is a phenomenal show, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry and Nick till 4 o'clock. And without any further ado, because the big game is coming to Houston, Texas, we would like to help promote a very, very special and very, very cool event as part of the big week. The Wounded Warrior Amputee Football Team is going to be participating in a game at Del Mar Stadium against ex-NFL stars and celebrities like Dan Pastorini, Randy White, Snoop Dogg, up to 400 celebs playing against the Wounded Warrior Amputee Football Team. You can win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Wounded Warriors team take on the celebs. It's Wednesday, February the 1st, Del Mar Stadium. Family-friendly event, supports the veterans. Tickets are $10 with kids and students free. Chance to mingle and interact with a lot of the people participating in the event on the field. And you can get your tickets at WoundedWarriorAmputeeFootballTeam.org. That's WoundedWarriorAmputeeFootballTeam.org. However, we're also going to give away 4 tickets right now to the 10th caller, 713 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-ESPN. Nick will take your call. If you are number 10 and lucky enough, and make sure you're going to use the tickets, Nick will take care of all the details he needs to get, and we'll be all ready to go. But again, a really neat thing, a great event. The Wounded Warrior Amputee Football Team taking on a celebrity game, a celebrity team of ex-NFLers and celebs like Snoop Dogg. So it'll be very cool.
Cool.
How about that?
Yeah, pretty cool.
And by the way, did you guys see the fact that they are going to make the Astrodome look like a serviceable building for the entire week of Super Bowl?
Oh, good. At least they're not wasting any money.
Yeah, it's going to be like if you didn't Google it and look at it, because they make that building all, you know, like the panels, the side panels that go all the way around. Each panel is like illuminated in like green or a color, and it looks like a futuristic, really modern arena.
Mm.
And then they're just not going to let anybody inside.
So it's yeah. I was going
to
say,
to see the colonies of rats and asbestos and all the other things that are in the inside. But at least the outside's going to look good.
Got a couple more quotes.
Go right ahead.
Make sure they don't find the body. Aaron Hernandez. But that was from El Jefe. I'm not going to read his other one.
You can't.
His O.J. Simpson quote was not appropriate.
No.
Hold this L, Matt Ryan, last Sunday. I think that was for you.
Yeah. Firmly grasped. Thank you.
Ryan Hill. Favorite quote, "It wasn't me" by Shaggy and Aaron Hernandez. A lot of Aaron Hernandez quotes coming in is what I'm saying. And my brother-in-law Alex, favorite quote, "Life's a garden, dig it." Joe Dirt. I like it. I like it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Some other things.
Okay.
So Ben Roethlisberger, after going on his radio show to say he's not sure he's going to play next year, and we already gave him 19 million reasons why he will.
Right.
19 million and one, including his wife. He goes on his radio show now and wants to talk about Antonio Brown. Says he's one of the best players in the business, and the plays he makes and he's made over his career are so special. I think sometimes that overshadows the extra stuff, the hands up, the arms up, the frustration, the pouting, the things like that. He basically was saying that whether you like it or not, he's got to stop pouting. And he called him out for a lot of his antics. And I think that that's something that was said by a lot of people, and Mike Tomlin wanted to say, but without getting into specifics. But I had mentioned even during the year how many times he did the dances with the star routine in the end zone, even though he knew he was going to get 15. And at the end of the year, Roethlisberger and Tomlin had to pull him aside and go, look, dude, in a tight game, when we need, it's about field position after a score. You can't be giving them 15. And I think that, whether you believe it or not, there's now rumors out there. Steelers are shopping him.
Yeah.
Eagles fans are out there on their blogs, and a lot of writers are saying the Eagles are trying to make an offer to try and get him. It'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out because of the fact that they didn't beat the Patriots, regardless whether it's right, wrong, fair, or indifferent. That seems like it's going to be a topic that's not going to go away for a while as to how sold the Steelers are on they can straighten him out, or are they going to ship him away? Because
go ahead.
Oh no, I just said, and I gave the track record of the past. If you look at the past precedents with the Steelers, Plaxico Burress sent on his way, Santonio Holmes, Mike Wallace. Look, they give you a short leash, and then it's time to move on. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think the funny thing to me is, you know, you've got, like you said, you know, the Dancing with the Stars and the Madden commercials. I can't do my touchdown dance with you, or whatever the hell he was doing.
The commercial too.
Yeah, and now it's all of a sudden, it's not so cute now, right? Like now he's pouting, and now he's getting upset, and it's like when it's all going well, it's all well and good.
I saw the commercial today, and I thought that exact same thing. I'm like, 2 weeks ago, that's a really funny ad.
Yeah.
And now it has a totally different meaning, and people are like, that dude who's all about himself. And I'm not sure that the sponsors want that kind of pub for them or being associated with that now like they were. And by the way, Barry, I part of the reason I brought the story up is because
crying Jordan.
It's not complete without a Antonio Brown body on the bench with the crying Jordan.
That was an argument that somebody had yesterday for Jordan over Brady.
The meme?
Yeah, there's no crying Brady's. That's why Jordan is better. there's no crying Brady, which is true, and that would probably be why I would give Jordan the edge, really. the memes that have come from a crying Jordan is the reason the internet exists. So, yeah, that would definitely have to be good. But, yeah, the funny thing is, man, is like, you know, it's the same thing with the Rockets like we were talking about earlier in the show. When everything's going great, everything is great.
Yeah.
But once you hit some adversity, that's when you 100%. Really find out how your
in the
team
road, man.
And how your fans and how everyone else reacts when you have those issues.
Sometimes you have a situation, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, sorry.
Sometimes when you have a situation when one player messes up really bad, sometimes the locker room are like, yeah, some of the teammates will be like, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. And some teammates are just kind of indifferent because they don't want to show or, you know, get on to their teammate. But in the Pittsburgh Steelers situation, it was completely unanimous. Everybody is against the fact that Antonio Brown pulled out his phone and did that Facebook stream. So
yep.
I think that's the reason why it's a different situation for him.
Not that's everybody, true. Though, because he had five or six guys around him that were partaking in it.
That's true.
You know, that's with true. The hats on and, you know, and again, that was my first thing. And I give Roethlisberger credit for that, to say right after it happened, when they asked him about it, he said, the one thing I don't understand is why he wasn't in the room with us listening to me and Coach talk to the team. That was the first point that came to my mind, is why are you in a side room and why is the whole team not together for the coach talk after the game? But, you know, other than that, look, Ben's got enough issues on his mind, but I don't think he needs to be drawing any more attention to himself with this whole contract thing either. Just come back. You're playing. You got 19 million reasons why.
You know,
and move on.
From a team that was so close to the Super Bowl to, boy, all of a sudden, tons of problems, tons of issues.
And speaking of that, the fact that, you know, they still have a loaded roster, mm-hmm. but how loaded? Mm-hmm. I mean, how good are they going to be next year? You've uncovered some of the preliminary discussions on teams across the league and how close they actually are
yep.
to taking that next step.
Yeah. Do you want to do that?
So let's do that in just a minute. Let's get people to kind of facilitate their own thought process.
Yep.
Maybe there's some teams you want to know about, and we'll get to that and let you know where everybody sits. Jerry, we see you. We're going to get to you as well. We still got plenty more show to go. So if you want to be like Jerry and get in on the show by the phone call, 713-780-ESPN. You can also text us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Huh. This must be how Lucas felt when he finally got Katie's number.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 o'clock. We were just chatting about Antonio Brown, the Steelers, and the fact that he's done some commercials, Nick, including this one.
I just played it, bro.
I didn't hear it.
I did. I just
my headset's
it.
On. I didn't hear it.
Sorry. You don't get a do-over, buddy.
Damn.
You don't get a do-over.
We cover for you all the time.
Oh, my God.
So
what
with that
wreck.
Being said,
hey.
We have Jerry on hold who wants to talk about that very same Antonio Brown. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What do you got, Dell in the studio? Man? That guy sounds mad grumpy. Yo, I just played that? Man,
did you hear? Did you hear it? Jerry?
Hey, what I was going to say was... You know,
I didn't hear it. I heard, by the way, Jerry, did you hear the commercial
with
Antonio Brown
I
just now?
Anything. When you guys got me on hold, it sounds like, garble that, whatever. That's all right. But, no, my question was, you know, the Steelers are pretty deep at wide receiver. And, you know, watching that Patriots game, I mean, they were just doing slants all day. Their defensive scheme or the guys, they just could not keep up with the Patriots receivers. So, I mean, they really need to get better on defense. I know in the draft they generally go with, like, defensive players first, but – What do you think Antonio Brown would fetch on the open market? And, like, someone like the Texans, like with a J.J. Watt or whatever, like, their defense is solid. I mean, if they could bring in, not necessarily J.J. Watt, but, like, if they could bring in some sort of top-tier defensive player or some top-tier secondary guy, I think that would actually make the team overall better because, I mean, the Steelers are going to get Martavis Bryant. They're deep at wide receiver.
I was going to say, the Steelers, they can get even deeper.
And Roethlisberger is going to hit anybody that's open, so it doesn't really matter. Like, what do you think he would fetch?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They're going to get deeper at wide receiver regardless because of Martavis Bryant, assuming that he can right his wrongs and bury his personal demons and play football again. And that's a big if. But, you know, the thing from the Pittsburgh perspective is this something that you can overcome and overlook because of how good he's been for you? Or if you feel like you've already crossed that boiling point and that you need to do something with him, then it's a matter of, are they desperate and do other teams feel like he is, or do you try and work out some kind of a fair trade? You're never going to get equal value in return, as anybody in any sport will ever tell you that's ever tried to trade or traded a superstar. But I think that realistically what you're going to try and get in return is probably a combination of draft picks and maybe a player or two that can help you in an area of need other than obviously the position you're looking for.
Do you really think anyone cares that much about like his antics? Like, I mean, realistically, like at the end of the day, I mean, when you're in the middle of a play, you know, they were talking about it during the game on the sideline, reporters are like, they were talking about it. And I'm like, that was a bonehead move by him. But at the end of the day, I'm like, do you really think somebody's running a route and going, oh man, Antonio Brown really was acting like an idiot in the locker room last week? I mean, nobody thinks about that stuff. Yeah, it gets old when you're getting penalties, which are killing you.
Right.
That's a different story. But when you're out there on Dancing with the Stars or this and that and the other thing, I mean, a lot of these guys are Hollywood.
No, I
anyway,
think the biggest
so
thing.
I don't think they really
Jerry,
care,
I think the biggest thing that you're missing on is the fact that this has an overriding theme in the locker room. It's not just, hey, I'm thinking about the video right now on the sideline, but they're thinking about if this guy, and it's no fault of his own, right? Maybe sometimes it's just New England's game plan or it just wasn't their day. But at the end of the day, I think there was plenty of people in that locker room that looked around to point a finger, and the easiest target was Antonio Brown because he didn't score a touchdown, they didn't win the game, and then they could start, you know, going ifs, buts, candies, nuts, and starting in, you know, to point fingers. I think he might be the first guy that gets the finger pointed at him for just simply because he drew too much attention to himself that week. Barry?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think at the end of the day, he's going to need to say, hey, you know what, I'm acting like a knucklehead. I need to straighten it out. And if he's one of those guys where he's like, no, it's not me, it's everybody else, then they're going to pull a Santonio Holmes or a Plaxico and say,
right,
see ya. And I wouldn't be surprised because that's just how the Steelers roll. They really just don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they'll get rid of him. But, I mean, he's awesome. I mean, I'm from New York, and being a Steelers fan, I'm telling you, man, the Giants, you can say whatever you want about Odell Beckham, but, damn, Antonio Brown's the real deal. He's such a knucklehead. It gets old. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
Hey, man, Jerry,
hey,
good take.
No worries, Jerry. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, when you're winning, it doesn't matter what he's doing and what he's saying and what's going on. Winning cures everything. And when you do lose or when you go through a rough patch, then these types of things get amplified. You know, if he would have done this during a win, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, these things get – and as far as value on the market, yeah, I think he goes out. You could get a one because especially since right now the free agent class for 2017 from a receiver's perspective isn't all that great. And if there's teams out there that are really needing help that feel like they're a receiver away from contending, then you might get them to pull the trigger depending on, you know, what you could get back in return, obviously. But, I mean, when Alshon Jeffrey is probably the best free agent wide receiver, yeah, you could go out and get something and trade. But you got to remember now who's going to be your new number one, right? Like you're giving up one of the best receivers in the NFL. I mean, he, you have to be careful about that, right? It's not like saying, well, there's a history of like in J.J. Watt's case, oh, there's back injuries, and are you sure J.J. will ever be the same again? This is a guy who's still at the top of his game,
no question,
and the top of his profession. And so, yeah, you could get a pick and possibly some value in return. Mm-hmm. Especially
but don't
since
you
it's
think
thin right now
that
on the
teams
market
that are going to be more accepting of that behavior are going to be the teams that aren't very close to winning a championship? It seems like the screws get tightened a little bit harder and the rules come down a little bit more firm when you get teams that are winning, as opposed to Cleveland would love to have Antonio Brown and they'd let him do whatever the hell he wants because he's a huge upgrade at the wide receiver position, as opposed to a Belichick or, you know, I would say even from the Falcons perspective, and maybe they're probably a lot more lenient than saying a Belichick and the Patriots, but I think that you see the Steelers. I don't think McCarthy and the Packers. I don't think, you know, I don't think Jason Garrett, as much as they let Dez get away with to some degree, I think they've even reeled him in. I think the teams that are successful that are at the top are the teams that are less lenient with that kind of behavior.
It could be. I mean, you're probably right. I haven't really thought about it from
a
team-by-team perspective.
But for instance, how would that go over on Kirby?
Yeah, not good.
Right.
Yeah, those are, you know, they want squeaky clean in that locker room.
Yep.
But I think a lot of people just, you know, if it probably goes on more than you think. it just doesn't get out. You know what I mean? And by doing what he did on social media, that lets the cat out of the bag. I mean, you can start to see the issues that they're having. So, yeah, I think that was the big mistake. But I think the Steelers, you know, there's always been that rumblings of is Tomlin a little too lenient on these guys. He loves to be thought of as a player's coach.
And don't think that the Bradshaw comments don't weigh into that too, you know, because as much as, you know, the whole he's a cheerleader and he's not, you know, and he's a player's coach too much, I think a lot of that, whether you want to say that had no bearing on anybody, look, enough of the players and Tomlin himself addressed it mm-hmm. to the standpoint of, I think that has a little extra incentive to why they're being a little bit more cracking on the back of the hands of Antonio Brown on this whole thing. So
yeah,
I think that kind of factors in. But one of the things that I thought was interesting that you uncovered was now that the season's over for all but two teams in the NFL,
yep.
We already have the early prognostications on Super Bowl for next year, as well as how close or far away is your given team
yeah.
to getting there.
ESPN had a pretty cool article, how close each team is to making a Super Bowl. And they kind of they grouped them together, right? So there's nowhere close, lots of work to do, middle of the pack, should contend, but there's question marks. And then the last one was the on the cusp of a Super Bowl appearance. So starting at the bottom, nowhere close, you had the Bears, Browns, Jags, Jets, and Niners. And I don't think
I feel sorry for Keenan McCardell, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think that surprises anyone at all. And at the very top of the list, on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl, you had the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Carolina Panthers. And that one surprised me a little.
Panthers?
Yeah. I mean, remember.
They're only 1 year removed from being there.
A year where they went 6-10 and didn't look all that good. You know, you talk about somebody that's pouting when they're not winning. That's Mr. Cam Newton. Boy, he's the happiest dude on the planet when they're winning.
Yep.
And the saddest when they're losing. But so that's the ends of the spectrum here. You want to guess where your Houston Texans fall? And again, the categories would be they would fall either lots of work to do, middle of the pack, or should contend for a Super Bowl, but there are question marks. Where do you think that the Texans
should
fall?
Should contend.
You think they fall under should contend?
I'm going to say middle of the pack.
You're going to say middle of the pack. Yeah. It's actually should contend, which kind of surprised me. Mm-hmm. It says that they put together a good Super Bowl contending team, but for as close as there are, they've shown an inability under general manager Rick Smith to identify and acquire a franchise quarterback.
That's the reason why it didn't surprise me, because I can totally see the national media saying something like that about the Texans.
Yeah, but locally, I think when you're kind of up close and personal to it every single day, you think, for as good as they are on defense, unless they solve not only that big glaring problem, but the offensive play calling and a little bit of special teams, they're middle of the pack.
Yeah, and here's the thing that we've talked about the fact that they made the coaching moves, right?
Yep.
Romeo Crennel is now the assistant head coach. Mm-hmm. Rabel is now the defensive coordinator. I think Bill O'Brien's now going to be the play caller,
right.
which is why Romeo Crennel is an assistant head coach, so he can help in game while Bob is calling plays, right? Mm-hmm. But he can also help Vrabel since he's a first year D coordinator. But my concern is, even as good as this defense is how much of an effect is that going to have when Romeo Crennel is not 1,000% invested in this defense? Because in game, you know, when the bullets are flying, he's going to have other things on his mind with the offense and management and other things going on as the assistant head coach. Now, I imagine his focus is the defense, but there's going to be other things on his plate now. That was the point of the promotion. You're going to be more than just the defensive coordinator. So that concerns me a little bit, losing some free agents. We talked about Bouye is mm-hmm. probably right. the best cornerback free agent right now on the market. There's some people saying that dude should have been in the Pro Bowl.
Travis is really high on him.
He played Pro Bowl caliber defense.
Travis is basically so high on him that he's basically guaranteed he's going to make double figure. He's going to make $10 million plus a year.
Yeah, it's not going to surprise me. So can you get him back? How will Watt return? Is Clowney going to regress again, or is he going to, you know, make more progress to becoming a superstar? So, you know, it's a good defense. The linebacking core scares me a little bit. You don't know. I think there's still some unanswered questions there as well. What is Vince Wilfork going to retire? Who's going to replace him? How well will they do?
By the way, did you see his tweet yesterday?
What did it say?
He basically tweeted, this is, you know, to saying I'm in this mode. And it was like his grade school picture with the smile from ear to ear. And I was like, well, either that is I'm at peace with the next chapter in my life,
right,
or I think I changed my mind and I'm coming back.
But if you combine that with the quotes he had after the final game, yeah, I think you're right. I think he's pretty much done.
So here's who they lumped the Texans in with from the should contend. You got the Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, Miami Dolphins, Minnesota Vikings, New York Giants, the Raiders, Seahawks, and Titans. All lumped in there with should contend but have a few question marks. So pretty interesting.
Okay.
And then I've also got the odds now. The odds are out for Super Bowl.
Yep.
New England Patriots, 5-1 odds to win Super Bowl LII.
Otherwise known as next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
I need you to keep going.
want the Packers?
I need you to keep going. All right.
12-1.
And where does that put them?
12-1.
I know, but I mean, of all the teams, like, who are the top? Yeah,
there's a tier, right? So there's 5-1 Patriots, 8-1 Cowboys, 10-1 Steelers, and then 12-1 is Falcons, Packers, and Seahawks.
Okay, they're in the top five. I'll take that.
Yeah. Right. You want to guess the Texans' odds of winning next year's Super Bowl?
I would say 32-1.
32-1? Not bad. Nick?
I wouldn't know. I'd say something like that.
40-1.
Wow.
Yeah. Along with the Bengals, Eagles, Titans, and Redskins. There you go. Super Bowl, baby.
Or I was going to say 42-17, which would be the final score of the game that they lose.
That's another one. Yeah. Yeah.
So then there's that.
They're saying the Bucs have better odds of next year than the Texans.
I'm telling you, man, with all that cap money Tampa Bay has, watch out. They still got a quarterback. They got skill positions. They got Mike Evans. They got a running back, Doug Martin. They got a good, decent defense. Tampa Bay could make a big jump next year.
I had them as a wild card this year. So
there you have it.
They're pretty close, I think.
Therefore, they should be a contender next year for sure. And on that note, we got one segment left to go, so we're going to skip out for one quick break, and then we're going to come back and wrap things up, get it ready to put a bow on it, and then turn it over to Fred and AJ and the Blitz. But however, today I do believe that it will be AJ and Shock. Is that correct?
Indeed.
There you have it. Shock the monkey. No, Shock AJ. It is Shock and AJ, and it is the Blitz. It's following us. They're at 4. We're until then, so we'll step away and then come back and wrap things up. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, Nick, wrapping it up here as we push it till 4, and then Shock and AJ today with the Blitz at 4 o'clock.
AJ's in here bragging because he had Mary Tyler Moore in the death pool.
Which was a good call.
I told 20 points out to an early lead.
No one said that, you know, a-hole. That's the thing, because there was no, like, mysterious illness, or there weren't any, like, medical reports that she's been fighting this or that, which is the research part of the program, which is why I didn't partake. But I would have said, of all the people in that era, that the one that played Rhoda would have been the one that, because she was on Dancing with the Stars, I think, right? Or something, too. And she's been, like, deathly ill a couple times where they almost made her terminal, but she's still alive and kicking.
Mm.
Well, you mentioned her name.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, now I got to look it up.
Valerie Harper?
Yeah, Valerie Harper.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's my Rhoda. Ace in the hole. Yeah. Yeah, that's my ace in the hole. And Stephen Hawking. I think he might go.
There you go.
I don't want to root for it.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That would not be appropriate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it might be time. I think it might be time. Hey, yesterday we talked about that deal with Deadspin and Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Where Ted Cruz
just
owned Deadspin. I mean, owned them. They, if you don't know the story, Deadspin said, oh, we hear Ted Cruz plays basketball. We want to see a picture of it. Ted Cruz, or an intern that works for Ted Cruz, sent a picture of...
Mr. Grayson Allen from Duke. The resemblance is striking.
And he's like, what do I win? And then Deadspin tweeted back, go eat bleep, feces. And then so Ted Cruz again responded and was like, well, that escalated quickly with a picture. And it was hilarious. And he owned them. And people were like, oh, my God, just call yourself, drop the spin, because he just killed y'all.
Yep.
Like, it was that good. And then the guy that owns Deadspin goes online and starts losing his mind, like, starts becoming fight me, bro. Like, oh, come on, fight me. If you guys want, you're talking mess, fight me. And then,
which is awesome.
Yeah. Anytime you start doing the fight me. So Tim Marchman is his name, and he's on Twitter as at Tim Marchman. And he said, unsurprising that not one Ted Cruz supporting person, I'll just say, on Twitter is willing to face me in the UFC octagon. And then along comes UFC fighter, Ranger sniper, and special forces operations person in the name of Tim Kennedy. Who tweets the
God
dude
love
and says,
him.
Oh, God.
Phenomenal.
Tweets right at him and says, I'm your Huckleberry.
Dang, I totally forgot about Tim Kennedy.
I also take note that you are a pathetic cyber bully. My email is tim@rangerup.com. I'm available at your leisure.
Love it.
Boop. Like radio silence.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then there's a guy from Barstool Sports who said, yo, Tim, if this loser responds to me first, can I have you in my corner? Because... that was Robbie Fox from his Twitter is Robbie at Barstool. But basically, he tweeted to Tim Marchman and was like, because Tim Marchman was saying, oh, you know, email me, bro. Email me. Right. Tell me you'll fight me. So this dude from Barstool Sports emailed him and said, I will fight you. Name the time and place, and I'll be there. And if I win, you have to drop the name Tim or something like that. But, oh, yeah, dude, it was.
Yeah, he bit off a little bit more than he could chew, and then he got a lot more than he bargained for, and now he's radio silent,
and now,
which is
And then Tim
cowardly.
Kennedy said he would corner the guy from Barstool Sports as well. He goes, yeah, if you fight him, I'll corner you. Oh, that just goes to show you. See, sometimes you can't go out there and start writing checks that your ass can't
I would
cash.
Love to see this like, you come to fruition. Do that. That would be awesome.
I was kind of surprised at his initial reaction. I'm like, bro, you know this is not going to end good for you.
No, you can't go out there trying to troll on Twitter against the universe. Like, you're never going to win.
Being a part of Deadspin, you should know that.
And you also have the safety net of being a part of Deadspin. Leave it be that you're just you're representing you. Just let it be as Deadspin. But when you step out in front of Deadspin and start taking bullets, you're going to get shot from all over.
Yeah. You don't 100%. Huge mistake on his part. And like you said, Nick, how do you not know that? Deadspin is notorious for this.
Oh, Deadspin's responsible for ruining people's careers. Let's be real.
Yeah. And so this dude apparently felt like he was untouchable. And then ish got real when Tim Kennedy was like, yo, I'll fight you. I'm a supporter of Ted Cruz, and I'll fight you in the UFC. Dude's like, uh-oh. Oh, I love it. It's so good.
Now we have crickets all over the place coming from the direction of Deadspin because it's been brought. And let's just see how he reacts because now I think everybody's waiting to see, you know, if they're going to respond at all or if they're just going to turn and run.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
All right, hey, Captain Comedy, before we wrap it up, you've got a show this weekend.
Yeah, man, I got a show tomorrow and Saturday at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. I promised yesterday, Nestor Carmona was trying to win tickets, so I promised I would give away two more tickets today. So we'll do caller number 5 again, because we got to get out of here. Caller number 5, all you need to do is leave your name with the intern. You'll get two tickets to the Friday 8 o'clock show. So tomorrow, 8 o'clock, Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. You can come catch me. I'll be there. Paul Odo is headlining. The dude's hilarious. And he's from Houston. He's up in New York. He's back here. Come check us out. You know, a lot of people say they want to come watch me. Now's your chance, and you can win free tickets
doing
it. But
don't say you're going to go and then not go.
Yeah, don't not come. I mean, you're getting free tickets.
Right.
So come out. Joke Joint. It's 45 South on Fuquay. Friday, 8 o'clock. If you can't make it, don't call. Otherwise, caller number 5, you win tickets. We're good to go.
There you have it. Other than that, we're getting ready to turn it on over. Another great show. Barry's off to do comedy. Travis Johnson in tomorrow. And then a big week next week as we will be live all week long from Radio Row. So that should be fun as well. So make sure you tune in again tomorrow and keep following us on a regular basis. Matter of fact, just set the dial and turn the knob and lock it off. So that you can always hear 97.5 morning, noon, and night because we bring in all kinds of quality heat every single day, including our show 1 to 4 every single day on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.